Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals from the built environment, health, recreation and transport sectors, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this episode, we talk to Peter Tombrowski, a resident of Calgary in Canada, who made an intriguing short documentary called To Costco and IKEA Without a Car. He describes himself as an urban camper living a less complicated life in the big city. For 10 years, he and his family have been living in Canada's most car-dependent city without owning a vehicle. The interview was undertaken over a Skype internet telephone call. It opens with Peter talking about how he and his family came to embrace such a lifestyle.
It all started with my family, my wife and I, and our son, who was 6 months at the time. This was in 1998, and us deciding not to have a vehicle at all and live vehicle free in Calgary. And at the time we were in living right downtown, so it seemed like a easy place to be without a vehicle. And as time went on and years went by, and the curiosity of strangers as to what we're doing without a vehicle, and by that time we were living outside of or away from downtown, pushed us into this realm where we wanted to write a book about our experience being without a vehicle. And one day we were in a camping store, all dressed up in our gear, backpacks, and one of the people in the store came up to us and talked to us. And then after explaining to him what we're doing, what we're about, he says, "It sounds like you're urban camping." From that moment on, that stuck, because it made sense to what we're doing. And then it became the title of our book, which eventually we published 3 years ago. It embodies the kind of basic principles that are required for surviving in Calgary without a car. And now we're in a suburban setting. We very much rely on the gear that we have and the principles of our urban camping experience to help us through life, basically, and not having a car. And we're on our 10th year. This year we're celebrating 10 years without a vehicle.
I live in London and I don't have a vehicle, but we have a much more compact city. What were the reasons why you wanted to give up the car? Was it environmental? Was it social? I mean, where do you think it came from?
Being new parents and wanting to do different, being new parents. We wanted to embrace a different way of behaving and being as new parents. Not only we wanted to get rid of some of our debt, but we wanted to simplify our lives so that we can be either one income or less income, so that we can be at home with our kids and our son at the time. It wasn't really environmental. It came more from seeing what life looks like with car and the expense of it, and wanting to do some meaningful change in our life. And that was selling a car and paying off our debt and not having that expense. And we've learned how to be without one, and we learned over the years how to do it well.
Have you had to forfeit a quality of life?
If there is something that is important to us and it requires a vehicle, I'll rent one, and that happens 2-3 times a year. And if it's important enough for me to get somewhere that's far or difficult, I will take the time and I will get there using transit or on foot. If things are of a value to us, then it can be accomplished without a car. So no, opportunities are not out of our reach. And the reason it's superficial, because whenever we did and do rent a vehicle, we realize very quickly that the vehicle actually is a preoccupation. It's something that actually asks of us more than it gives us. It tempts us to go places where we wouldn't normally go. I used to have a carpentry business, and I had a work truck. And obviously that was necessary for the type of work I was doing. So that made sense. But for everyday living, we find it that a vehicle is a luxury. I mean, it is just simply it feels good. There's almost like a perception that it will get me somewhere faster. It will make me do more. I find it that without one, I actually get to do more and experience more than I've done with the vehicle. Calgary has grown so much. It has doubled in size in the last 20 years. We're over 1 million people right now, sprawling. Traffic is really, really terrible. So I don't see the argument that the vehicles, will get me somewhere faster and more convenient. I don't see it. So, no. Opportunities have not been. Maybe in terms of the way people perceive us, yes, there's definitely a stigma attached to not having a vehicle, especially in city of Calgary and in our very much booming oil province.
Your son now is what, aged 9? Is he missing out on opportunities because his parents haven't got a car to drive him to whatever?
We've decided to home educate. In terms of being exposed to kids and other people, it does come up sometimes in terms of how are we getting around for what he needs to do. Well, the answer is the same as it pertains to us. If we require to go and do something, if it's important enough to us, and if it's important enough to him, then or for him, then we will make that effort, and it doesn't have to involve a car. So we're not car-centric. I think it comes from just a basic mental alignment that car is not a necessity. It is something that we choose to use, like renting one, and we basically build our priorities from that. So a car is not a necessity. It is not at the center of our life.
Well, tell us a little bit about the walking experience in Calgary.
Calgary and Edmonton are both very car dependent. And in Calgary, there is something like 800,000 vehicles for a population of 1 million. So we are very car dependent here, or at least the population of Calgary is. And therefore, many efforts that would encourage walking, I don't see. I don't see them. If they are happening, they're happening downtown where the density is higher, where there's more high-rise apartments. Then yes, that makes kind of sense there, and I think it's easier to accomplish to have paths and areas where there is no vehicles, like there's a street downtown that is just for pedestrians. But where we are, I call it a jungle because many of my treks, which are very purpose-driven, such as grocery shopping or business or whatever else that I do, often lead me to basically walk at the side of the road or on the road itself. It sometimes can be very hostile in a way. I remember from talking to one of the city engineers here, he said that most of the traffic and traffic design and street design is actually puts pedestrians very on a very low priority. So often intersections or may not even have lights for pedestrians in some areas. There might not be sidewalks leading up to the intersections, especially in industrial or a little more removed areas, like when the place I used to work at. I mean, that was just simply car friendly, not pedestrian friendly at all. So my walking experience, if it's basically forging my own way, with common sense and safety to get there, it's either transit or walking, and it gets done.
So it's not just a way of life, it's a philosophy.
As I see it, a very basic survival skill that allows us to solve problems beyond what we know. So we can imagine a solution before it's even there. So we can experience something completely, we can go outside of our boundary. The boundary right now in North America is the car. It is created, it is maintained by car manufacturers, by people themselves, by the words they speak. And then it solves things. You go from point A to B, you use your car. That's it. But remove the car, like it happened in my life. And it was for, like I said, for no environmental reasons, not for just we want to be different, do something different. I'm not radical. Like I said, I'm not affiliated with any environmental groups, nothing. The moment my problems had to be solved by going from A to B without a car, I had to solve them. I had to come up with some other way of carrying groceries, surviving in winter, and my imagination just started going. And what do I do? Trial and error. Can I carry it in? And on and on and on. Literally, I don't know sometimes how to. People. Right now we're in a tremendous environmental awareness atmosphere in Canada. Everything is environment, and to me, I find it very, very superficial. For someone to say that solution to our pollution or carbon footprint is more efficient vehicles is ludicrous, because as population grows, so will the vehicle. And so what that it's more efficient? It will still put out a certain amount of pollution. So I'm not sure how to persuade, or, well, I know, I simply show it. So I'm very happy to show through my book or through my life or through conversation to simply go, hey, look, this is the way it looks. So in a way, I am the counter argument. My very life and the life of my kids and my wife and our family is a counter argument to someone said, I can't imagine living without a vehicle. I simply go, yo, right here. This is me right here. You're looking at the argument. Am I saying emulate me? No. Am I saying I have the answer? No. But I am an answer to, that says I can't imagine. Well, there it is. It can be done. And it can be done in an elegant way, and it can be done in an effective way. I am more about the individual and saying you as an individual can go out there and change your life a little bit. And as a result, you will change the environment around you. So local authorities here in Calgary, city planners, will look at the city and go, oh, that's what the citizens are doing. They're buying cars. Build more roads. They don't look at me and go, oh, look, there's a guy walking. Because you know what? I'm the only one on that stretch of road, and for 2 or 3 hours, there won't be anybody else there. And they'll look at the flow of traffic on the road and go, we need a bigger road. We need more roads because there's more cars. So why would anybody want to step out of that and say, you know what? We'll build a smaller road. We're gonna actually restrict the flow of cars and force people out of their cars. That will be counterintuitive. It will be counter what governments do, because governments look at what there is and simply approve of it. Because if they don't, they won't get reelected. Because that's how democracies work. You please the people. And until somebody says, you know what, walking is good for me, and suddenly there is 100 people walking with me on the side of the road, you know what, I can guarantee you, within a week or two, there will be a sidewalk there.
Tell us a little bit about the documentary and what brought it about, and what's how's it been received by whom?
The documentary very much flows from the book. So the book, Urban Camping, is the backbone behind the documentary. And originally, the documentary was going to be a longer documentary examining or showing our life. And in the middle of production, I decided to make it into a very short, I think it's 5 minutes long, piece with very little dialogue. The bulk of the documentary is me going to Costco and IKEA, which is the title, to Costco and IKEA without a car, and coming back home with a sewing table from IKEA and some groceries from Costco. And it's all set to Antonin Dvorak's Slavonic Dances. That was my first piece of work in terms of video production, and it got into Hot Docs. We got 20 invitations to various festivals around the world, which eventually boiled down to, I think, 7 or 8 actually showed it at the festivals, which was incredible because for a first piece of work, I didn't expect that. Now I've finished a second documentary called Sacred Pavement or Sacred Asphalt. It's an 8-minute piece. As I looked around Calgary, I realized that it's not the cars, it's what's under their wheels that actually defines our city and divides communities and takes up so much land for parking lots and parking structures. So I was attempting to shift the focus from vehicles, even though vehicles in the documentary are very prominent because they, one from the other can't be separated. That's a main force behind the way our cities look, especially in North America.
And are you submitting that to similar festivals?
Yes, I finished it and submitted it a month ago to Hot Docs, which is the main documentary festival in Canada, and I'll be working on other submissions.
How long did it take you to make the documentary?
To Costco and IKEA without a car was 5 months. Sacred Pavement was about 6 months.
What's your sort of favorite walk?
We walk so much, and it's much of it, 90% of it, is purpose-driven. So will it be groceries from Costco or going about, you know, getting things done? Like my wife went with the kids right now to see a movie at a theater. And simply walking itself is enjoyable. So will I be going to Costco in summer or winter? It is simply enjoyable because not only it accomplishes a very purposeful, useful thing of getting groceries, it is walking, and walking by its very nature to me is enjoyable. And I don't have anything scenic to go to because I'm in a suburban area that's fairly flat and fairly boring, but it's a walk, so I'm walking.
Are you meeting other people on foot? I don't think so.
No, no, and it's it changed a little bit as the area around Costco and IKEA have developed into a fairly large shopping area. There is more people walking, but it's very, very sparse, very, very infrequently that I would see somebody. For many years here, it's a fairly lonely walk, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm alone. Thousands of cars will pass by, and it's just me, or it's me with kids, or it's my wife going. We're alone, and it's an interesting perspective. So I very much appreciate the fact that I look at the world by walking and doing something very purposeful and very fulfilling, actually.
And you've never been tempted to move to a more compact city? Or even a warmer one.
We're not bad. We got what's called Chinooks, so we get the warm wind blowing over the Rocky Mountains, and within 24 hours can go from minus 10 or 20 to plus 3 or 4, and everything's melting. So we're happy that we're here. Yes, I mean it is cold. It can be very cold here. It's actually wonderful. It's wonderful to have very definite seasons. You know, winter can be harsh at times, and being prepared for it and meeting it gives us a great satisfaction that we have the knowledge and the skill to do this. And then when summer rolls around and it's plus 30, again, skill and knowledge gets us through that as well. So very much that self-reliance and ability is very fulfilling.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Andrew Stuck at Rethinking Cities. In this episode, you've listened to Peter Tombrowski, video documentary maker and author from Calgary in Canada. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Please follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes at talkingwalking.net.